Andrew, you need to be there because when you're there, you're a blessing to them. You give them hope. And this year when I went to Uganda, I was blessed myself. I stood on the steps of the medical center and I looked out and looked at what God had done in the lives of these individuals. Yes, I am proud of the fact that I'm part of a ministry connected to Brandon Full Gospel, and we have seen a tremendous change in infrastructure. But not only did I see a change in infrastructure, I saw a spiritual temperature that had been risen, that there was faith that had arisen in that area. And not only that, when I had the opportunity to sit down with Samuel and see what the Lord had done throughout that village, it was a good news story. And then we was getting near the end of the whole trip there. It was even on day 9, I think, or could be day 8. We went there and somebody, as we're praying, somebody has said, I believe it's right for us to give a gift to Precious, this lady. And we all agreed that we would do this. We would sow what we call spiritual seed into this good soil. And you just don't realize what a small amount will do in someone's life if they have faith. You see, the Bible talks about sowing into soil, good soil. And there's times that we can be sown into needy soil, but he says sow into good soil. And this individual, this family was good soil. They have 6 children. They used to live on a dirt floor, but God has provided a brick floor now. And some kind of roof and a house is being built because of their faith. And as I say, they're pastors of a church. And what blessed me was, let's be honest, finances were given. As this seed was sown into this young girl's life, and she was told this is not for the community, this is for you and your family, so that you can have more than enough to give to your community. I don't think she stopped sewing because she's a seamstress ever since. So I want to say to us as a church, you know, I'm not very good at sharing what's happened. I see a blessing, and so often, forgive me, I don't share it with you. But this year, I want to share over the next weeks and months what God is doing because of generous people like you. Because we don't get to see where our money has gone. But I'm going to show you through my testimony and through video that God has started something and he's going to complete it. And someone said something to me today. They was repeating a Bible teacher, John Phillips, where he said, many people start well, but they don't finish well. And we want to finish well. I want to finish well as a spiritual leader. I want to be a good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. So I want to share. Ken, you're going to come and share with us. I will sort your microphone out. See, this is seamless.
Well, bless the Lord. Who's glad they're saved?
Amen.
Well, that's one or two. Let's try again. Who's glad they're saved?
Amen.
Amen. I just, I could go on all day about Uganda. I want to thank you. Firstly, I am going to preach, but I want to thank you for your generosity. For those of you who didn't know, we, for the last couple of years, have had a collection of underwear. Now, you may think that's weird, and that, but let's think. What's something small that I could give to someone who's got nothing and make them feel sort of dignity? You know, we can give them sweets, they can easily, and we do, and they quickly disappear. Or, you know, we can say nice things to them, which is very nice. But what can you give something? And after, I've got my phone with me. We've got lots of pictures. So we managed to collect 1,380 pairs of, I'm going to say the word, knickers. 1,380 pairs of knickers, besides vests and T-shirts and various other bits. And I tell you what,
briefs.
Pants. let's just get... Anyway, let's just settle for underwear. I'm doing well with underwear. They don't... Well, stop now. They done well. And, you know, I've got some pictures, little bits of kids. So it worked out something like they all got... I think all got four pairs each. And even the teachers were just... You know, when you can reduce someone to tears that you've given them underwear, we don't understand the half. So thank you for that. For those of you who gave to the medical mission, again, we saw 380 people saw... We employed six medical practitioners of various descriptions. 380 people were seen and medicated in some way or another. And that's through the generous... We don't charge. That's through the generosity of the saints. Good news now is, yeah, we have built a clinic. Part of the mission this time was to build the pharmacy, the furniture, the whole kit. So we did that. We got medication left over. Samuel, being the man that he is, the guy that runs it for us, he don't stop. He's got this great art of painting me in a corner. Well, Pastor, you've got a clinic now. We've got some stock in the clinic. All we need is a nurse. Oh, I found a nurse for the first 6 months, for £100 a month. Which is ridiculous, actually. I was talking to someone today, a teacher gets £38 a month. A good teacher gets £50 a month. So, you know, your pounds go a long way. So now we've employed her for 6 months. We had a little bit of money left in the pot, and we bought some more medication for the pharmacy. So you are doing a great work. You imagine. I could tell you, talking to the teacher of the school, last one and I'll preach. Talking to Samuel, and he said this, he said, we have children come to the school sick. Because we were talking to him about the expenses, he said, we then have to take him, the children, to the local clinic, so pay for the transport, get them looked at, pay for the consultation, buy the medication at an inflated price, and then send them back home. So my friend said to him, well, what happens if you just send them back home sick? He said, well, they'll keep them home sick for a couple of days, then they'll send them back to the school. And it just goes on. So I just love it. I just love it. Jesus went around doing good, Acts 10:38, and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He didn't just do he went around doing good. And we ought to practice that a lot more. The reason I'm in ministry, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27-28. Do not withhold good to those to whom it is due, when it's in your power to do it. Do not say to them, come again tomorrow, when you have it with you today. We have a responsibility to do good. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We bless you. You are good. Even this morning, we have celebrated how you are the way maker. That you, in your time and in your way, work all things together to the good, to those that love you. Now, Spirit of God, Jesus said, when two or three are gathered in his name, he is here. We ask for a revelation of him. He said you would be our teacher, our guide. You would take those things which are his and you would reveal them to us. Speak to our hearts today that we might go from this house and knowing we've met with God. For we ask this in Jesus' name and we give you the thanks. Amen. Amen. I want to talk today about liberty. I haven't got any Americans with me. No. My country, 'tis of thee. Great land of liberty, of thee we sing. Anyway, or the French, liberté, equalité, and the other one. Or we could go everywhere, but everyone's got liberties. In fact, everyone will tell you about liberty. We are living in a very strange age. Judges chapter 21 and verse 25 says this: everyone does what's right in their own eyes. And the reason they did, everyone did what was right in their own eyes, because there was no king. There was no absolute authority. And what's happened is, in our country, it seems to me, that we've been so busy kicking out God, so busy kicking out the Bible, that we have got no absolute authority. That who do you think you are to tell me I can't do that? If I want to park my car on your bit of grass, I will park my car on your bit of grass, and don't you dare tell me I can't. So it's this strange thing that everyone wants to be free in their own eyes. Now, if my freedom infringes yours, well, tough. Because I'm obviously more important than you. Let's be honest, that's what we've got at the moment. I need to behave myself Why? Because there was no absolute authority. So our society is in a mess. And you've got two extremes. You've got legalism and you've got license. One is, the only way we can survive is with rules, regulations, restrictions. North Korea, China. The other one is, it feels good, just do it. Don't worry if you hurt anybody else, because you are what the world revolves around. So liberty is that balance of saying you could, but you will not. There is a restraint which is not imposed, but you choose to obey. Am I making sense to you so far? Because we talk a lot about all this kind of sexual whatever and all this was going on and all the things in society. Just look around you and see it. I can be whatever I want. If I can be Sue today and Fred tomorrow, who are you to tell me I can't? How did we end up in this mess? It's got a wonderful word. Ready? Sin. Grammar lesson. Now you're going to love this. I is always in the middle of sin. Ba-boom. Go home, you've been educated. I is always in the middle of sin. It's always me. What I need. What I want. Self. So sin abounds, but when sin abounds, what happens? She's good, isn't she? I'll bring her with me for that very... Where sin... Romans 5 and 20 says this. Where sin abounded, grace abounds all the more. God is a good God. Mukama Mulunji, the Uganda fear. God is a good God. And he said, I've got in here Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son. Ready? There we are now. Even the fullness of time today, in this crazy world of, on the one hand, legalism, on the other hand, license, God sent his son to set people free that they can experience liberty. The right to choose. The right to be what you want to be, because God has made you like that. Can you say amen? If you could say it a bit louder, you'd encourage me all the more. Why did Jesus come? Good question. Well, we know this one. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. The Son of Man did not come to be served. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom, a propitiation. We say that word, no one knows what it means. It crops up three times in the New Testament. Literally, it means New Testament. Best way to look at it is a payment. But the whole idea of ransom is this. That's where you get the word redeemed as well. It goes with it. There you are. You've gone off to war because your king sent you off. You were captive. The king would then pay a ransom to get you back. Something, the classical way to look at it is this. Something that was formerly yours, which has now been taken from you, you pay the price to get it back. What was mankind? Formerly God's. What happened? We sold ourselves to sin. What happened? God came and purchased us back with his own precious lifeblood. We live in a world where people have got so little value. I want to tell you something. God values you so much. What price, Ken? Well, better than silver and gold. The Bible tells me you were not redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. God could give nothing better than himself. And God gave himself for you. You are highly valued. Jesus gave his life as a ransom. Ready? He came, but how did he do that? 1 John 3:8, and it's B, the second half of the verse. For the Son of Man, why did Jesus come? To destroy the works of the devil. Is that right? That's what it says, isn't it? For this purpose, Christ was revealed to destroy the works of the devil. I'm going to tell you something now that you will not like very much, but we need to do it first if we're going to understand liberty. Remember what I said to you? That you were prisoners and someone paid a price for you to be set free. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16 and 17, I think. Do you not know that he to whom you present yourselves as slaves to obey, to that one you are slaves who you choose to obey. When I choose to sin, guess what? I become a slave of Satan. I become a slave of sin. For the one you choose, read it, for the one you present yourself to obey, of that one whom you obey, you become slaves. That's why the Bible, sometimes you'll get that term slaves to sin. Because we sold ourselves to sin. Why? Because we chose to obey the devil. The devil made me do it. The devil dangled the carrot. But you munched on it. That's why temptation is not sin. Temptation is not sin. You know, you walk down the street. I won't say what it might be. Anyway, we'll pick on Andrew. A Ferrari. And at that moment, if only I had that. Oh. And self says, I want it. I need it. I'd be a better person. Think of the ministry. Think how big we could get if I only had that.
Thank you.
And it's the dangling. That is not sin. Or as Kenneth Hagin used to say, you can't stop a bird landing on your head, but you can stop it building a nest. I feel happier now, people are laughing. We're off. So Jesus came to deliver us from bondage, from slavery. For those of my, some of my African-American friends, emancipation. That's what the word liberty actually means. To be set free from the yokes of bondage, that we can walk in liberty. That's what Jesus came to do. We were slaves, but Christ paid the price for us to be free. Amen? Amen. John 10 and 10 says what? The thief comes to do what? Steal, kill, destroy. But, always remember, but I have come that you might just get by. I'm sure that's how some people read it, honestly. Or I might be religious, or I might go to church. Listen. I'm going to tell you something. Sin is pleasurable for a season. And don't you dare, not me, brother. Listen, we were all there. And Christ came along and said, but don't worry, I'm going to set you free. I'm going to give you something better. I'm not going to hold you bound to this thing. But I'm going to ask you a question. And you can always look at the person next to you, pretend it ain't you. But I'll give you a story and you can see if you fit in this scenario. I remember before I got saved, a long while ago, when dinosaurs ran the earth, I would go out Friday night and get absolutely wasted. I mean, sick as a dog. I mean, like, puke everywhere. Too graphic. Puke everywhere. I'm never going to do that again, never. So you'd get up Saturday somewhere, and then the phone would go, wouldn't it? Hey, we're out, down the pub. I'll be there. It's amazing how our resolve dissipated, like a morning mist, isn't it? Oh, yeah, we mean it. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, never again, never. So we were slaves to sin. And don't look all religious at me. You've all been there. If it weren't that one, you've got something else. All right? Oh, I wouldn't do that. Yeah. But Jesus came to give us life. And life in abundance. I've told you this before. I'm going to upset you. I do not understand Christianity that's not got life. I am now 73. The only reason I have to look at my wife is because I often say 74. She goes, no, you're only 73. I'm 73 and I'm alive in God. I love it. I'm saved. Either it works or it don't. If it don't, go back to the world. Go to hell. If it works, work it. Otherwise, we're nothing more than religious. Do you know what the word religious means? The root of the word religious is bondage. She religiously goes shopping on Wednesday. She religiously does. I don't want to be religious. God forbid. The only true religion before God is that we care for the widows and orphans. Bless the rest of it. Anyway, back to what we're supposed to do. Therefore, John 8 and 36, the message of Christianity is freedom. Therefore, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be religious. Free indeed. Now, remember what I said to you, not free license, not a freedom that's got this kind of bondage religious thing, but that liberty that says, I can walk in newness of life. Who's old enough to remember my shackles, my poor wife? Every Sunday if I'm preaching something, I start digging out all the old songs. My shackles fell off. My spirit was free. Oh, praise the Lord. He rescued me. My sins are forgiven, and now I am free. My shackles fell off. My shackles fell off. Get it? That's what happened. Now, I'm going to talk about sometimes we tend to fall back, but that's the truth. Christ has called us to freedom, to liberty, the glorious liberty of the sons of God, the Bible tells me. But Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 says this, stand fast therefore, meaning you can be moved away from, in the liberty by which Christ has made you free. Stand fast and do not become entangled again with the yokes of bondage. The danger is, yes, I'm free. When I liberated Auschwitz and a lot of prison camps, the people had become so socially conditioned that they wouldn't come out. Can I say to you, the danger is for some Christian people. Christ has set us free, but we are so conditioned to, this is what I am, this is the way I am, this is, that we don't come out into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Remember, Peter was asleep in prison, and an angel comes. And do you know what the angel does? The angel has to give him a kick, because he had got comfortable in prison. Happy in God, living for God, ready to die the next day, but he had become comfortable in that situation, so much so that the angel, read your Bible when you get home, had to give him a kick and say, come on, we're out of here. With danger for you and I is this, if we're not careful, we get stuck. What time do you want me to shut up? I'm all right for a while? There. Good one. Right, I'll look at my notes so I can cut a big chunk out. It's good. Do not become again entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. Those of you who've been around church for a while have heard it. It's the anointing that destroys the yokes of bondage. Yeah? You don't actually read like that, but what it says is the yoke of bondage will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. And we kind of roll it together to make it easier to say. The anointing destroys the yoke. Ready? That word anointing is where we get the word Messiah from. I'm not getting into it for time's sake. In Luke chapter 4, verse 17, 18. Jesus stands up and says this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is now upon me. Yeah? I am now anointed to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the gospel to the poor, to recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. It literally means under the heel of the devil. To give release to the captives. The anointing destroys the yoke. We were yoked. We were bound. Jesus came as anointed, set us free. Good? You have to work your stuff when you get home. Why? Oh, it should sound profound. I'll do this bit and then I'll wrap it up for you. It's only half of it, but time says I've got it. If you can answer this question without looking on your phones, who knows what the Liberty Bell is? It's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's called after William Penn. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Freebie. What's on the bell? They've got this bell. It's a tourist trap. Great big bell. I thought you'd never ask, Ken. Leviticus chapter 25. We'll do this and then I'll do half a sermon for you. All right. Leviticus 25. Verses 8 through 13. But on the Liberty Bell, it says this. From verse 10. to proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. Now the bell's cracked, it's 300 years old or something. It's a tourist trap then. To proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all the inhabitants. What are we supposed to proclaim? What is the gospel that we proclaim? What we proclaim is this: Christ Jesus sets you free. He came to give you life in abundance. Why do I want to do this? Leviticus. Try that again. Oh. Leviticus 23:25. I suppose I ought to read it just because I'm getting short. And we start at verse 3. No, we don't. We start at verse 8, even less now. Right. Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord," or the year of God's favour. Yeah? What is the acceptable year of God's favour? The acceptable year. The year of Jubilee. Where do we find the year of Jubilee? Oh, you got looked at the heading, didn't you? You're cheating. in Leviticus 25, 8 through 13. "And for time's sake, let me tell you this. The whole idea of this was it's the year of years. So if you were Jewish, you have a Sabbath day every seventh. You have a Sabbath year, which is the seventh year. And in that seventh year, you didn't deal the ground, you didn't do certain things, and God promised to look after you. But then you also have a Sabbath year of years, which is the year of Jubilee. 7 times 7 is 49, and the 50th year is the year of Jubilee. Now, what happens in this year is the great thing. What happens in this year is, firstly, it was possible for you to sell your kids into slavery if you're really poor. You know, send them to another Israeli and they're supposed to treat them well and all that stuff. But on the 50th year, you had to be set free. So with Jesus, I'll come to all these things in a minute. Secondly, if you had lands, you could sell your lands. But because it was an inheritance from God, in the year of Jubilee, they had to give it back. In this year, the year of Jubilee again, God's provision, because you didn't work, but the land produced. And in fact, you, in the 49th year, got 3 years worth of crops. What am I trying to say to you is this: when Jesus stood up and cried out with a loud voice, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is now upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to give recovery of sight to the blind, to set the prisoners free. I am the Jubilee." So, what does that say? Oh, hang on. Prisoners are set free. There is a restoration of property. Something that you formerly had and lost, which is yours, because God gave it to you, he gives back. There is manifest provision. Restoration of families. You are now going back to your family. Jesus is saying, listen, I've come to set you free and I've come to make you whole. Do you want to give me 5 minutes more? I'm only sorry. If you have been set free, oh, Brother Stroud, ready? There's a difference between fact and experience. Don't say I'm a heretic. The fact is, you are free. Your experience is you are becoming and you will be.
Amen.
Always remember that. You are becoming, you will be. You are saved, you will be saved, you are being saved. You are healed, you are being healed, you will be healed. You are delivered, you are being delivered, you will be delivered. We are. This is the fact. This is the process we're moving towards. Right? Now I'll tell you why I wanted to preach this for you. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3. Verse 17 says this. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. I like liberty, sounds nicer. Ready? Where is the Spirit of the Lord? I see, you've taught them well. Jesus said, John 14, he's been with you and he will be in you. So the Holy Spirit is in me. The moment I become a Christian, my spirit, which was dead, becomes alive and joins with the Holy Spirit. I'm not living the Christian life all on my own, but God's Spirit joins with my regenerate spirit, and I start walking in newness of life.
Amen.
Now, ready? And he's bringing me, he's changing me. You think I'm bad now? You shouldn't know me before.
Me too.
Yeah. We're all a work in process. We're all under new management. We are changed. We are being changed. We will be changed. One day, we won't have a problem with sin. But until then, I need help. And God says, listen, it's to your advantage. You can have a late dinner. It's to your advantage I go away. For if I go away, he cannot come. But if I do go to you, I will send you another helper. Allos Parakletos. Allos. You can't do it very comfortably. It means another one exactly the same as. It don't mean another one. It's like, you know, you could have that and you could have that. In a sense, that's another one. But that's not allos. It would only be allos if he had another one the same as yours. Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you another one who's just like me. And he's the Parakletos, one who comes alongside to help.
Yeah.
Literally, it's a legal term. You stand in the dock, you can't defend yourself. Ah! And another one comes along to plead your case. Ready? The Spirit dwells in you. What is he? He's another one just like Jesus. Jesus came to set you free. And he has come alongside to help. To help us change. To help us make something better.
Yeah.
It's not you.
Amen.
Just in case you struggle. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. God has not abandoned us to muddle through this Christian life and somehow or another just endure to the end. But he's given us his Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. My friends, can I say, but Brother Stroud, I get it wrong. I know it's hard to believe in such a sanctified congregation that one would even conceive that there's anyone in this room who could possibly get it wrong. But just in case, there's one. Just in case someone, you're in good company. David, come on, man after God's own heart. Man God sought out. The sweet psalmist. The man who knew what it was to fellowship with God. Is there a woman called Bathsheba somewhere in this mix? And is there a poor husband in somewhere in this? Uriah. Psalm 51. Against you. You only have I sinned. He goes on to say, well, I'll go on to say 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But David had it right, ready? He says, take not your spirit from me. Uphold me, what with? With your generous spirit. Not just get by spirit, but generous spirit. So if you're one of those today who's kind of gone back into bondage, got yourself sort of a bit messed up, that's not you. That's not where you belong. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's light. That one. Mine eyes diffused a quickening ray, my dungeon flamed with light, my chains fell off, my soul was free, I rose up, went forth and followed thee. Rise up, go forth and follow. Don't stay there. Last one, Micah chapter 7, verse 8, one of my favourite ones. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemies. For though I fall, I will surely arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall arise upon me. Amen. Amen. You have been called to freedom. There's so much more you can talk. Look it up when you get home. Do not use your liberties as an excuse for sin, your freedom. But if the Son shall make you free. That's the truth. We need to keep, no matter how bound you are, that's what the Lord is speaking to me today. Well, I did when I started my prayer. No matter how bound you feel at this moment, Christ has made you free. And all you need to do, fix your eyes on Jesus. Call out to him. Make your confession. Isn't it funny how you say that and everyone thought, make you confess. What's wrong with it? Do you know you're in good company? Not one of us in this room have arrived. Has anyone arrived yet? Because if you have, you're dead. That's the pure fact of it. If you have arrived, and that's what I'm going to do one day, you're dead. Other than that, we're on this journey from two. I was bound. I'm going to freedom. And the Spirit of the Lord is with me, helping me, changing me, transforming me, making me new. Amen? Shall we stand and pray? That'd be good. Hallelujah. Therefore, if the Son shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. Amen. Ready? I've got my bottle of water here, but it says, when he has come, the Spirit of truth, he will lead you into all truth. This is stuff I've not got time to do. But John 17:17 says, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Ready? I'm going to tell you how it works. As you read your Bible, the Spirit of Truth lifts that truth off the page, speaks it to your spirit, and the revelation comes. The entrance of your word brings light. And he shows us we need to repent, or he shows us this is what Christ has done for us, or he shows us this is the land that we can inherit. And he takes us from where we are a step further and a step further and a step further. And we come out of darkness into light. We come out of bondage into liberty. We come out of lost into found. That's how it works. Even by the Spirit of God. Father, we thank you. Raise your hands as you raise your heart. Father, I just bless you today that this Christian life is such an exciting adventure. This glorious liberty that we have been called to. Father, firstly, we know that the truth outlives a lie. You said the devil is a liar and the father of lies. And he has been lying to people, telling them that this is where they're going to spend the rest of their days. This is something that they can't get out of. This is something that holds them bound. But you have come to set the captives free. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the anointed of God that destroys the yokes of bondage. So now, in the name of Jesus, by your Spirit, minister to each person here, Lord, preacher and preach that. Each one of us need to go further. Each one of us, you've prepared for us a banquet. You've prepared a land for us to possess and inherit. So, Father, by your Spirit today, do something in each of our hearts. May Jesus be glorified. May your name be honored. And all this for your glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.